let's get to this story about this measles alert after a passenger flew from Bali home here to Australia. And apparently it was on QF44 from Denpasar. Have I got the right one? Yes. Arrived in Sydney at 6:25 a.m. on Saturday, March 10, right? Then the passenger boarded the QF415, arriving at Tullamarine at 10:35 the same day. And people are saying that the man became unwell on the flight and may have been infectious on both flights. Now they're asking for people who were at Melbourne Airport on Saturday, March the 10, particularly around the domestic baggage collection area, who develop any illness from now until Wednesday, April 4, they should go to their doctor or hospital emergency department. Because this fella came down with measles.
Okay, well, it's a big call. So just how serious is measles? We used to consider it just a bit of a childhood disease that people would go through. Why the big call for that? It also coincides with the results of the childhood immunisation coverage of Australia. The 2016-17 results are out today, so it makes for a topical conversation. Dr. Joe Pollack is the medical director for the Travel Vaccination Clinic and joins us this morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah. Tell us about the measles case, first of all. Obviously, there's a lot of work going into trying to track this fellow down.
They've got the fellow. Put you up the gum tree there. They have the carrier, don't they?
Yes.
They're just advising people sitting around. I beg your pardon, I got that wrong.
And the reason for the date of 4th of April is that commonly the incubation period is between 10 to 12 days. However, it does occur. The incubation period can be between 7 and 18 days. Mm-hmm. So it's just with abundant caution.
Yeah, okay. And when are you infectious with it?
4 days before and up to the period of 4 days after developing the rash, which is a diffuse rash, blotchy, and other symptoms.
Okay. I remember as a kid, I don't think measles was taken all that seriously, Joe. I mean, but it is these days. What's changed?
Well, it's only for people who were born after 1966, there has been more of a concern, and so people get vaccinated after that date. Prior to that, they had a natural acquired immunity because it was far more common did have measles prior to 1966.
If everybody gets vaccinated, then where's the big issue?
Well, the big issue is that travellers coming back from less developed countries, commonly Southeast Asia, although it does occur in higher income countries in Europe as well, it's those travellers that get to pick up the virus. Mm-hmm. And their immunity reduces with ageing.
Okay. And just as a disease, it used to be the kids would get it, they'd be in bed for a few days, they'd get the fever or whatever the case may be, they'd come out. So long as you weren't pregnant, then it seemed to be reasonably handleable. What are the effects?
Well, in more serious cases, ear infections, pneumonia, very rarely brain inflammation infection. The death rate's very low. It's 1 in 5,000 cases. So it can be quite a concern.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're walking around, and as you say, Robbie, there are pregnant women around who may not even know they're pregnant. When does the measles virus, become a threat to a fetus? Do you know at what stage, Joe?
Well, we think it's in the second trimester, It could well be the first trimester as well.
Righty-o. All righty. So let's talk about vaccinations. And Joe is here to answer any of your questions. He's Dr. Joe Pollack. He's the medical director of the Travellers Vaccination Clinic. If you have a question, if you're off on holes and you would like to know whether you should be vaccinated or not, the number is 1-300-222-702, or, of course, you can always SMS on 0467 922 702. Rightio, Joe. I'm off to South America. Well, I'm not, but I wish I was. Tell me what I should be looking at in terms of vaccinations.
Well, Firstly, for many countries in South America, such as Brazil, Panama, Bolivia, yellow fever is compulsory. That's mm-hmm. now a lifetime immunity that one gets. It used to be 10 years, but the rules changed last year after studying results of patients that had blood on their blood tests mm-hmm. proven that they were immune 30, 40 years after the initial vaccination, so it's now lifetime. Hepatitis A and typhoid are very important for their foodborne mm-hmm. illnesses that we really have to be very concerned about.
And there's no vaccination yet for the Zika virus, is there?
No, there isn't. There's a number of drug companies that are working on it, but it looks mm-hmm. very slow.
All right. You can give us a call if you're heading off or you want to know anything about vaccinations. Before we get into more specifics, how soon before I go away should I be vaccinated? What's the ideal?
Ideally, a month beforehand, mm-hmm. patients should come in, travellers should come in, because sometimes if they're going for longer trips or have a higher risk, they may need vaccinations such as rabies, which is a course of three shots over a minimum of 21 days. Commonly a 1 or 2 week trip, they should come in at least 2 weeks beforehand. Okay.
I tell you what, it's not cheap though, is it? I remember the last time I had to take shots going to Mexico and Cuba, it cost a lot for a family to get the shots done.
Yeah, it is very expensive. Unfortunately, far more expensive than in some other countries, like in Thailand. The equivalent of vaccine can cost 20% of the cost it costs in Australia.
We've got lots of calls and queries coming in, so let's get to them. Dominic from French's Forest. You did catch measles, Dominic, when you were away.
Yeah, hi, Wendy and Robbie and Joe. Hi. Yes, I did. In 98, I was 30 years old, travelled with my wife to Thailand. Had a great time there, wonderful. Within a couple of days of getting home, got extremely ill, filthy temperatures, and end up being measles. So I'd obviously contracted it while I was away. But, you know, this is back before anyone sort of worried about telling the airports or mm-hmm. chasing it down. I had fevers of 42 degrees, and according to my wife, I was lying in bed speaking in tongues. I wasn't speaking English.
Wow.
It was really, really bad.
Had you been vaccinated as a kid?
No, not for measles.
Yeah. And did you have any lasting effects, Dominic?
Look, not that I know of, but maybe I'd have to talk to my family to work that out.
A new language at home. Good on you, Dominic. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
And Gary from North Parramatta, he's got a question about rabies, is it, Gary? Where are you going?
I go over to Java, to Gurudjagan, regularly, but this year my son's coming, and I noticed when I got back last year, back to Bali, there was a lot of signs recommending rabies vaccination. I haven't done it, but my son's actually gone and got the rabies vaccinations for the trip. We're going in a couple of weeks. So I was just wondering, what was your opinion on rabies at the moment?
Well, rabies we certainly recommend for patients going to Indonesia and especially to Bali. You get rabies from any animal contact, dog, cat or monkey bites especially. In Ubud up in the hills, monkey forest. And we used to use as a guideline 4 weeks or more travel to any of these countries, especially India. We would recommend it, but now Federal Health Department is saying, well, why don't we recommend it 2 weeks or more, since most attacks of rabies occur in the first 2 weeks? Mm. Why are we still sticking to the 4-week guideline? But it takes a long time to change our habits.
Is it true that the animals that are, you know, rabid, that they do froth at the mouth and they do go a little bit crazy and they are more likely to bite?
Ah, yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All righty, thank you for that one, Gary.
Okay.
Caro from McMahon's Point is off to South Africa. Hi, Caro.
Hello, and very exciting it is too. Mm. But I just wondered, I spoke to a doctor just briefly in a cafe the other day, and she felt that, no, we didn't need anything, that because we're just going to Joburg, Cape Town, round down there. We are going on a game reserve, so I just wondered, would they need any vaccination for South Africa?
Well, usually more than a week travel, we recommend hepatitis A. More than 2 weeks travel, hepatitis A and typhoid fever. Going to Cape Town, there is a water shortage currently, and the thinking is that food and products will not be washed as diligently as previously. So we would certainly recommend Hepane typhoid in the current drought situation.
That's great. I have one other quick question. We have an older daughter who's about to have a bubba, and she wants us all to get whooping cough. And I just wonder whether that's necessary or she's being a bit of a worry wart.
No, she's not. She's not over cautious in that regard. Certainly get it. If you get it, you have immunity for 10 years.
Okay.
So it makes sense.
All right. Thanks for that.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you, Caro.
And Tony from Gosford, where are you going, Tony?
Well, my wife and I are off to Borneo in August, and we were just wondering, we've been told to take some really good mosquito repellent. That's number one. That's probably the best. But what other things would be recommended in Borneo? It's go to Kinabalu and Brunei.
Well, again, hepatitis A and typhoid fever, food and water vaccines, and malaria tablets for Borneo. And there's really two that are commonly prescribed these days. There's a third one called Larium, but it's giving a number of side effects that we all want to avoid. So malaria tablets definitely are strongly recommended.
Mm, and a few gin and tonics.
Yes.
All right. But a couple of texts here. My daughter got bitten randomly on holiday by a dog in the hills of Vietnam. Then it was a rush to a major city. I advise getting the rabies vaccine.
There you go. Can I just ask you, we've got Dr. Joe Pollack with us this morning, medical director at the Travel Vaccination Clinic. We were just talking about this hunt for people who might have been in contact with this measles-infected traveller from Bali who came into the country a few weeks ago. Have you got the rates there for Australia? I know they came out this morning. The immunisation rates for the country, and I believe they've improved.
Oh, they certainly have improved because there's just been so much more coverage over these issues. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's not so much people contracting it from other people in Australia. It's really from travellers that we're seeing cases of measles.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But do you have the figures in front of you, the numbers?
No, I haven't
I've got them here, okay. Actually. Right. In 2016-17, 93.5% of Australian 5-year-olds were fully immunised. This is up from 92.9% the year before and 90% in 2011-12. So those rates are going up and people are very happy about that. So let me just reiterate there. Childhood immunisation rates for 2016-17 are 93.5% and up over the last 2 years, which is good news, Joe.
Very good.
Yeah,
very good indeed.
But we have a text from Greg here, though, Joe. We're off to New York City in May. Can you immunise against fake news?
There are two drug companies that are working on that right now.
Good answer.
With the initial T.
And, of
their
course,
starting name.
Robbie and I are hoping that there are not any shots required for Japan. A few people have asked. I can't imagine there are they?
No, for Japan, it's really very safe. But having said that, there's always a 3-5% incidence of travellers coming into, whether it be Japan, Sydney, Melbourne, London, New York, that will pick up some food bugs, but it's a very low figure.
But you can't immunise against something like rotavirus, can you?
Not
typical Bali bellies or, you know, Montezuma's revenge or anything like that. You've just got to be hygienic and, wash your vegetables and do all that with bottled water, am I right?
Even when brushing teeth with bottled water.
Okay.
Yeah. Good on you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Joe Pollack, Medical Director at the Travel Vaccination Clinic. It's 9 to 9 now.